We started yesterday the interesting discussion on Pei Beis Amud Beis, Pei Aleph Amud Beis, about someone who's a repeat offender. Repeat offender says the Mishnah, so Beis Din disposes of him. Yeah, they take care of him. This is not an act of execution, obviously. Beis Din does not have the right to execute. We're talking only about a lav. But we are simply saying that Beis Din, the Mishnah is teaching us that Beis Din has every right to get rid of that individual, to dispose of that individual. Yesterday we ran through the Gemara. The Gemara says, first of all, we're talking about not just any lav in the Torah, we're talking about an Issur Kares. It has to be an Issur Kares. Because the idea is that by Issur Kares, he's Chayv Benafsho. He really deserves the death penalty. It happens to be the death penalty on the hands of heaven, not on the hands of Beis Din. And then he goes ahead and he repeats the offense, and he gets Malkus again. So from that point forward, now if he does it again, we're done. Beis Din now has a right to dispose of that individual. So again, Beis Din can't execute him because that's execution is only under certain circumstances. He over here, he didn't violate this in the Torah that generates those circumstances. It's not a capital crime, but because it's a chayv krisus, and because he's repeated again and again, he's a repeat offender, so therefore, Beis Din does have the right to simply allow him to die. Put him in a room, give him sa'orim, give him barley, allow his stomach to explode, okay, doesn't sound pleasant, but that's Beis Din has that right. We are in the Gemara, and we're picking it up now from the two dots. Misha Laka Vishana. Okay, how many times do you have to be a repeat offender? So here we're going to get onto a classic discussion in the Gemara. This discussion occurs multiple times throughout Shas, and that is, what number does it take to be considered a repeat offender? Really comes down to a question of, what's a chazaka? What establishes a chazaka, a presumption, a trend, if you will? So, Mishalaka Vishana Shana Afagav Delo Shilesh. So, from the Mishnah, it sounds like he needs to do it twice, and then not a third time. Now, what exactly are we talking about? Look back at the Mishnah. Misha Laka Vishana. He gets Malkus. The Malkus is repeated, right? So that means that he got Malkus twice. And then he does it again. Okay? So in other words, on the third time, but you don't need a third set of Malkus. So Lema Masnitzin Loker Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Hamar Atlas Yemen Lohav Yechazaka. It seems to be that our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel throughout Shas on many issues says that a chazaka is three times. Right, to my memory, land. It's funny. Land is not one of those things that's up for discussion. But that's a good example. In Masechta Nida, we talk about vestos of a woman. We talk about what creates a cycle for a woman, so that we know that this is her menstruating period. So that there's a discussion of whether you need two times or three times. Machlok is about a chazaka. A woman who kills men, not literally shoots them, but like in other words, she's married and the guy dies, and she marries another guy and he dies, and she marries another guy and she dies, and we call that a black widow, and we have other names for that also. But I'm saying, that woman, now at what point in time do you have to start thinking to yourself, maybe it's not a good idea to marry her, right? Think about the other guys. Brit Milah also. Okay, good. So it comes up time and again throughout Shas, this issue of how many times is established to make a chazaka. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says three times. And our Mishnah, he only needs to get Malkus twice, and he's considered muchzak. He's considered now to have a presumption of being a sinner. So Amar Ravina, Afilo Tem Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Kasav Averus Machazikos. So Ravina says, no, our Mishnah could in fact be going like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And the fact that our Mishnah says twice, it says twice on Malkus, but he has to actually sin a third time. So there are third times in terms of sinning, and it's the sinning that creates the chazaka. Makes for the Gemara challenges. Avar aver sheish ba malchus pam rishon v'shniya malchanoso u'shlishes konsanoso l'kipa. And the third time already, you take him into the kippa, you take him into the cell, and allow him to die. Abashal omer af v'shlishes malchanoso b'rivis konsanoso l'kipa. And the opinion of Abashal in the Braisa is that no, three sets of malchus, then you put him into the kippa, and then you allow him to die over there. Now, once you read this Braisa, it sets itself up pretty clearly. My love to Kuleyama Makios Machzikos. It seems to be the very simple way to read the Braisa is that the question is how many times do you need to get Malkos? Two times or three times. Uveplukta the Rebbe Rashim Gamal Kamiflagi. And the whole machlokus over here is simply a machlokus of how many, what establishes a chazaka. Rebbe says two, Rebbe Shimon Gamal says three, and that ostensibly is the machlokus in the Braisa. Perfect. So now the Gemara says that seems to be the case. But we just got done saying that no, it's that's not the machlokus. The machlokus is what creates the chazaka, the malchus or the sin. So the Gemara says very simply, lo, dekulei ama islu l'Roshem Gamliel. Look, everyone subscribes to the view of Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel says three. Three is your magic number. And then the Braisa, what's the Nekuna Machlokus? What are they arguing about? Mar Savar Aveiros Machzikos and Mar Savar Malkius Machzikos. Exactly. They're arguing about what creates the Chazaka. Is it the Malkus? Meaning now at this point in time, it's interesting, right? The sin itself, right? That you could almost like say, excusable, right? He has a taiva. But once he gets Malkus, it's like there to reinforce him. You shouldn't have done that. And then he gets Malkus the second time. And now Malkus is there physically assaulting him, hitting him, and it's there to remind, maybe I shouldn't be doing that. So the opinion of Abishal is only at the Malkus now, at the third Malkus is it established. It's established. This guy's now he's going to do it again. It's no longer situational. It's now dispositional. This is who he is. Fine, and at that point in time, Basin has the right to dispose of him. Whereas the opinion of the Tanakhama is no. It's three is your magic number. It takes three to make a chazaka, but it's the three acts of sinning. Sinning of itself already allows us to establish who he is. The Haditanya Hisrubo Vishasak Hisrubo Vihirchin Rosho. If you gave him a warning and he was quiet. Now, by a warning, it's required that the person who's about to commit the sin says, I know, Afal Pikain. I'm still going to do it. And here, you warn him and he's quiet. Or, Hisru Bova Yerchen Rosho. Or you warn him and he nods his head. And interestingly enough, nodding your head is not enough. It's insufficient. Pam Rishonim Vishniya Masnimbo, Ushlish is Konstantinosolakipa. And once again now, we don't have the right to kill him. Basin doesn't have the right to execute because there's due process. And interestingly enough, by him not accepting the warning, now you no longer have the right to. Basin doesn't have the right to execute. You don't have the requisites in order to do execution. But what you'll do now is you'll go with the formula of disposal. You'll put him in a kippah and you'll allow him to die in the kippah. Abishal Amar Abishlish is Masrim Bo Berevis Konstantinosolo Kippah. And Abishal once again contests. He says, no, not after the second time. No, I'm sorry, right? Not with the third sin, but after the fourth sin. Now, Vahasa Malkus Leka. Now, over there in this particular case, there's no Malkus. So, Bamai Kamiflagim. So the Gemara wants to now know what's the Nekudah Machlokus. Amar Ravina Bekipa Tzricha Hasra Kemiflagi. So the Gemara says the Machlokus is whether or not you need Hasra'a in order to be sent into this Kippah. Or is Hasra'a not a necessary component? That's the Nekudah Machlokus over there. But again, this issue of 2 versus 3, the Gemara says don't get that involved in this Machlokus. The real issue is what creates a chazaka? But as far as the number is going to be 3. Umay kippa. Now the Gemara just wants to know.
The chazaka is chazaka for his inclination to do something or chazaka for him to be punished.
Right, that's right. That's exactly the machlokus between the Tanakhama and Abishal. Yeah. That's it.
What if a man is a parish? He could never say.
Right? Right. Another example of a loophole. My kippa, what is kippa? Asks the Gemara of Yehuda Malokamasa. So it's really solitary confinement in a room that is as high as he is. So really but it's not solitary confinement. I mean, the reason why he's placed in there is so that he will expire. The Hecha Remiza, is there a remiz to this in anywhere in Chumash, in Tanakh? And Amar Ish Lakish to Moses Rasha Ra'a. Yet to Moses Rasha Ra'a, he should die in his evil. So in other words, it's an illusion. It's not exactly clear from the Pasuk, but the Gemara is not looking at this as a source. It's just a remez that shows us that he dies in his wickedness, meaning you put him in an area that is as high as he is. V'am Rish Lakish my dechsiv. Rish Lakish gives us another small piece of Agadita. It's very small. Ki gam lo yada adam esito. Person doesn't know when his time is up. Ki dagim shene'echzim b'metzuda. It's like fish getting caught b'metzuda ra'a. In a bad net. What does that mean? My metzuda ra'a. What does that mean, bad net? Amar shlakish chika. Chika is the hook. Right? Mm-hmm. Phil, you're familiar. You see the word Rashi uses. Fishhook. I wouldn't know fishhook in Spanish. You know fishhook in French, right? It's five lines down. Amu imu. Okay. Shuhu. Right. Rashi says what's
it's in Amos, but it's not too short.
What is it?
Amos.
That's not. It's pretty close. Okay. Shuhu rav v'chalash v'katan v'ochez bal. What's Rashi describes a little bit better, the nature of the fish hook. Rashi says it's weak and it's small, this fish hook. But meanwhile, what happens? It grabs you. And the fish wasn't exactly expecting it. Ve'eno roeh, didn't see it coming. Ve'eno dom elenechaz berishtos. Ayideh ma'ari v'tachbulos. It's not like getting caught in a net. Getting caught in a net, it's big, it's large, you see it's coming. Getting caught by a hook, it's just like so sudden and like so unexpected, and that's pshat in the pasuk in Koheles. Why did Reish Lakish bring that up right now? Why did the Gemara bring that up right now? What's the connection between that and the idea of placing him in the kippah? Again, something to think about. I'm not 100% sure. The next Mishnah. Harig nefesh lo be'edim. Okay, so this comes up a lot. People have asked me this a lot. Somebody commits murder and he gets off on a technicality. So remember, in our set of rules, there's no incarceration. He doesn't go to jail. So it's strange. So you have a murderer, and everyone knows he's a murderer, but he gets off on some sort of technicality. So what happens then? So Mishnah here picks it up. Harig nefesh lo be'edim. So the Mishnah says if it's without witnesses. Now you know that the Mishnah can't be taken literally without witnesses. I mean, without witnesses, it's nothing. Machnisin oso lekipo, machin oso lechem tsarumayim lachatz. So you put him in the kippah and you give him lechem tsar, you give him bread and water. Now, the Gemara in a moment will point out that seems to go against what we just learned. We learned about barley. And over here it's lechem tsar. It doesn't seem to be exactly the same. The Gemara is going to address that, and that'll come up in just a moment. But meanwhile, however, what does that mean? That there were no witnesses. That can't be. It can't be.
How do you know he did it then?
Right. Minaya dinan. The Gemara's question. How do we know that he did it if there are no witnesses? So I'm a Rav. So what the Gemara is going to explain now is basically different ways of presenting it, but it's all going to come down to the same. We know he did it. It's just for technical reasons the witnesses were not accepted in court.
One witness.
So I'm a Rav. Be'edus miuchados. So Rav says, edus miuchados. What does that mean? Rashi explains. Rashi is about six lines from where the lines get wide. Dishnaimi edim alav, the edu son MS. Two witnesses. The witnesses saw what happened. They're telling the truth. So what's the problem? El she'ein misaso misur lebeisin kagon. Shnaim rom oso echad mechalon zeh. The echad mechalon zeh. They saw it from different angles. We will learn in Maseches Makos, that's not good. That's not acceptable. The witnesses have to see it from the same angle. And right, witnesses have to actually see each other and see the crime as well. So, Umiyu Hacha Taninan Da'ala Kippo. So what our Mishnah now is coming to teach us is the following. So on the execution, so there's a technicality now that the witnesses saw from two different angles. But what our Mishnah Sanhedrin tells us is that Beis Din now has the right to deal with it in another way. But even here, if let's say there's one witness, Rashi says that's not even enough for Kippa. Right, for Kippa, you still need two witnesses. So this idea of Beis Din taking the law into their own hands, it's not true. It's not that they're taking the law into their own hands, but under certain circumstances, Beis Din can go about their goal in another fashion. But it's interesting, Rashi seems to say very clearly, you still need two witnesses. One witness is going to be insufficient.
Isn't Machnisin also the Kippa something like
Inui? No, well, it I don't know how long it takes. Right, I'm not sure how long it takes for him to die once they start the kippah process. But it's a way of disposal, meaning that they can't kill him biyadayim. They don't have that right to do that. But at the same time, like we discussed, they have an obligation also to protect the society. Shmuel Amar Shelo Basra. Shmuel gives another explanation of the Mishnah. I don't think he's arguing with Rav. I just simply think that he is providing another scenario, another circumstance, where he gets off on a loophole. There was no warning issued. If no warning was issued, how do we know that it was amazing? How do we know it was a shogeg? Okay, fair to wonder. Maybe we're talking about a chaver, right, who doesn't need asra. Maybe that's the pshat. Anyway, there was no warning that was issued, and as a result of that, Basin does not have the right to execute. But again, there are two witnesses, and they saw that it was a murder, and we know he's a murderer. So we... Right. So Basin can deal. Rav Chista Amar Avimi Kigon Di Ischachish BeBedika Velo Ischachish BeChakiros. We tripped up the Edom. We have a responsibility to try to trip up the Edom. There are the Chakiros, the seven Chakiros, which basically establishes time and place, right, for the purposes of Hazama. And then there are the Bedikos. There are all the other questions. Right, Kididnan, we learned earlier in the fifth parak, Maiso Vadik, Ben Zakai, Ukse Te'enim. Ben Zakai investigated and he tripped up the Edom on Ukse Te'enim. Ukse Te'enim, what was that? We had a discussion earlier. Was that the weapon that was used, or was it just a tree that was in the environment at the time of the murder? Okay, what exactly he was asking, but those were bedikos, but he was asking detailed questions. The Edom did not give symmetrical answers on this ukse te'enim, and so therefore he threw it out. So now what we're learning in our Mishnah is that even though the Edom can be dismissed on these regards, but at the same time, look, we basically got the idea. This guy's a murderer. But for a technicality, though, we're going to have to throw out the Edom, and therefore he's going to be acquitted. And now our Mishnah is teaching us that if Beis Din wants to, they could dispose of the murderer if they would like to. Right? You don't know, by the way, there's not much Mishnah and Gemara over here. You really don't know. Is Beis Din required to do it? Is it a discretionary act of Beis Din? Right? It's really unclear from the Mishnah and the Gemara to what degree Beis Din is required to pursue this avenue of kippah. Machil noso lechem saro mayim lachatz. One last thing before we start the big sugya of the day. Maisha hacha dektani nosam lechem saro mayim lachatz. Maishna hasam dektani machil noso saor machakresu mitvakas. So the Gemara says, just a little bit confused, because on the top of this amud we talked about barley and the stomach blowing up, and over here we're talking about minimum amounts of food and water. So Amar Rav Sheshet. So Rav Sheshet says it's a two-step process. Kippah is a two-step process. Edi, the Edi nostin lo. Really, you do two things. Number one, lechem tzara mayim lachatz ad shiyuktan mayano. So the first thing you do is you give him a little bit of bread and a little bit of water, and his stomach shrinks. And now that you have a shrunken stomach, now you give him the barley which expands, and it'll blow his stomach up, and that's how he dies. It doesn't sound pleasant, understandably. It sounds pretty brutal. It is interesting that the Mishnayos are presenting this out of order, meaning that we now know that the barley is the second half of the process, and the bread and water is the first half of the process, and the Mishnayos are giving us barley then followed by bread and water, when in fact chronologically the order is reversed. Okay. Start now the Mishnah, the new Mishnah, and this is perhaps one of the more exciting topics of the ninth parak of Sanhedrin. A topic that people have certain amount of familiarity with even before we begin the topic, but something that is just going to be, a lot of it's going to be difficult. Difficult to understand, difficult to process. Let's begin. Hagonif is a kisva. First of all, if you are a thief and you still kisva, any clues as to what kisva is? Okay, not yet. Well, Gemara is going to discuss. Hamikala b'kosem. Or if you curse with kosem. Okay, not yet. We'll learn what that is in just a moment also. The habola ramis. Or if you have relations with an Aramis. Aramis literally means an Aramean, but over here it's a, right, it's, don't take the term literally, it simply means a non-Jew. So in any one of these cases, we have three cases here in the Mishnah, right, stealing kisva, cursing with kosem, or bol Aramis, kanai and pogimbo. So you have a kanai, you have a zealot amongst the Jewish people, who if he wants to, he could be pogea, he can kill for any one of these crimes. At this juncture, by the way, we only know what one of the three crimes are. We don't even know what the two other crimes are. Rashi over here says, Kanaim Pogembo, look at Rashi in the Mishnah. Bnei Adam Ksherim, Hamithkanim Kenaso Shalmakam. Kanaim over here, Kanai, like, it's a term that could go in many directions in terms of being a positive term, a pejorative term, right? Kanai could just simply mean, he's a zealot, he's a nut. But here, Rashi says, no. Kanai means, Bnei Adam Ksherim, Hamithkanim Kenaso Shalmakam. They really care about God. These are people who have a deep concern about God. So pogam bo bishar sharonis amaisa. So when the act is being committed, either the theft, the curse, or the having relations with the non-Jew, while this act is occurring, so then this kanai, who has a deep, deep regard for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he can take it up, he can kill the individual. Aval achar mikan, Rashi continues, after that point in time, Ein misaso misur lebezdin. So Rashi points out one of a number of complexities in this halacha. After the action is done, it's no longer a capital crime. You can't go to Bezdin anymore. You don't have the right to go to Bezdin and say, look, here's what the guy did, let's kill him. No, the crime has already been committed. It's no longer a capital crime. So here we're talking about three different crimes where only while it's happening and only then is it a capital crime, and somebody in a vigilante type way can take care of it, can take care of the individual, kill the individual. And Rashi says, halach l'moshe m'sinai hu. And where are you going to find any of this? He says you won't. You won't find these halachas in Chumash. These are halach l'moshe m'sinai.
You have the paradigm of Pinchas.
That's most of our daf today will revolve around Pinchas. But these other two, first of all, we don't even know what they are yet. But these other two, right? You won't find it. You won't find it in Chumash. These are halacha Moshe Mesinai.
Can we assume that it's sorcery of the general nature?
We'll see. We'll discuss a little bit about the sorcery. Most of the daf will deal with Bo'ol around this. Kohen Shishimish B'tumah. You have a Kohen who gets up there in the base of Mikdash, and despite the fact that he's Tamei, feels, you know, today's my day to do the Avoda. Kohen is, it's my day, that's it, I'm going. So, you know, and if Alan were here, I'd poke fun at him.
Alan is here.
Oh, good. Yeah. And then, that was stealthful. That was stealthful of you. So Cohen, well, it's on tape anyway, so you can hear it afterwards. Cohen Shishamish Betumah. So the Cohen feels, look, I know I'm Tommy, but it's my day today. I'm doing the Avoda. So Einach of a Cohen in Mevino Sola Beis Din. So once again, this is not a judicial matter. You don't go to Beis Din. Take care of it in a much simpler fashion.
By the way, you know, Dan
the Cohen
too, you know.
he's a gentler version. I'm so happy. I'm so proud that this is now being taped. Okay, I gotta go over the tape now. I gotta edit it. Thank you, Alan. So Motzino so Chutla Azara, Umafsinas Mocha Bigzirin, and they just simply they beat his skull in, and Mafsinas Mocha, and they crush his skull. It's simple. Zar Shishamash Ben Mikdash. If you have a Zar, you have a non Kohen who's Mishamash Ben Mikdash. Rabbi Kiva Amar Bechenek Bechacham Amom Rabbi De Shemayim. Machlok is Tanaim, exactly what the punishment is for a non-Kohen who does the Avodah. And later on, not today, later on we'll get to what is the Nekudah Machlok is over there. Okay. Three things in our Mishnah which we discussed, Kanaim Pongambo, that if you're Kanai, you could take the law into your own hands, and you can go ahead and you can kill the culprit. So first of all, the first thing we discussed in the Mishnah is stealing Kisva. My Kisva, so I'm Avihuna Klisha race. No. Looting in the Beis HaMikdash, going into the Beis HaMikdash and stealing Kli Shares. Okay? I guess we can call him Mi'ila.
Yeah, I know.
Right? I'm saying, right? Again, these are not capital crimes after the fact.
Like,
right?
But Mi'ila, you could say you're not really stealing it. You have it in your possession and then you use it and you're not
right?
But here you're actually
okay.
Stealing it.
So I'm not sure. The Gemara will never use that term. I'm using the term. But I guess we can call it Mi'ila. Now, being Mol Behektish. Now, if you make use of Hektish for your own gain, so that's the Nis in the Torah. And along with it comes Misa B'dei Shamayim, but the idea of being killed for it, that never comes up by Mi'ila. So again, this is special Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, that at the time of the crime, people, Kanaim, have a right to go ahead and take up arms. V'cheinu Omer, and in fact, that's Ksos HaNesach. The word Kisva has its roots in Chomish, V'es Ksos HaNesach. Right? So it's a sin, it's a stomach, they sound the same. Right? It's right, two out of four. The hecha remiza. Now, where's a remez? Where's an allusion to this in the Torah? Now, again, we'll go back to the Rashi and the Mishnah. It's halach l'moshe mitzinai. So you're not going to find it this explicitly mentioned in Chumash, but there is a remez. There's an allusion to it in the Chumash. V'lo yavo liros kebela es hakodesh v'mesu. Now, Rashi points out that the simple pshat in this pasuk has nothing to do with someone stealing the Kli Sharis. That's not the Pshat. The Pshat in the Pasuk, says Rashi, is that when they're traveling in the desert, so you'll have the Kohanim put away all the Kli Sharis. The Levim are not allowed to watch the Kohanim put away the Kli Sharis. Their job is only carrying. After it's been packed away, then and only then the Levim come pick it up and carry it. But it's the Kohanim who were taken, that's the pasuk. Lo yavo liros kebelas hakodesh, while they're boleya. Boleya over here means absorbed, right? While you're putting the Kli Sharis into its sacks, the Levim are not around. Only when you're done, then and only then, do you call in the Levim and you say, okay guys, let's move it out. And what the Gemara is doing now is it's using this pasuk as an allusion to the idea that when you're boleya hakodesh, that when you tuck away Kodesh, meaning you want to maybe walk out of the Beis HaMikdash with a little souvenir,
keepsake.
Little keepsake, so now somebody has the right to go ahead and to kill you at the time when you're stealing. Two, Hamakal the Kosem, Tani Rav Yosef Yaakov Kosem es Kosmo. Should sound familiar, right? Yaakov Kosem es Kosmo takes us back to our days of blasphemy. Right back earlier in Sanhedrin, when we talked about what is the definition of blasphemy, so we said Yake Yose is Yosi. Now, the Yosi over there back in the Mishnah, what was it? Nun Gimel? Nun Dal? Somewhere around there. So Yake Yose is Yosi, that was a reference to blasphemy, like real blasphemy. Yosi is just a nice way to say it. It's a coded way to say, right, the name of God. But Rashi back over there said Yosi is Skamatri of Elohim. But over here, you're saying it's slightly different formula, right? Yake kosem es kosmo. Kosem is some sort of sorcery, some sort of witchcraft. The Rambam says it's a avodah zarah. But whatever, it's some other power. Yake kosem et kosmo. The one who invests it with power should take should curse it. Meaning it's a form of blasphemy, but you don't use the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So again, so it's not legal blasphemy. If it were, it would be a capital offense, put to death with skila. It's not. It's something similar to that. At the time, you have the right to kill him. Now, here, I don't know what at the time means, meaning when he's uttering the words. After he finished the curse, ostensibly, you no longer have a right to kill him. Right? It seems to be that way. I mean, that's
basically, the witnesses are going to be the one who has to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
What is this supernatural power stuff?
It's supernatural power, sorcery. The Torah prohibits from engaging in it. Slightly different version of what exactly this is, what kind of cursing it is. I curse you, your creator, and the one who invests it with power, with the supernatural, with this sorcery business. So according to this second opinion in the Gemara, Rabba Bar Meri, it's a curse not directed at God, it's a curse directed at another person and at God as well. Okay. Habola Ramis. Okay, this is the main part of today's Gemara. Having relations with a non-Jew. It is at the time of the indiscretion, so there's a right to kill. Why may Rav Kahana may Rav?
A married woman?
No. Just a non-Jew. So what if the Kanaim don't do it? What would be the halacha? Okay, so you already know because I read the Rashi back in the Mishnah, but the Gemara is having the discussion. What happens if Kanaim are not pogebo? What happens then? And this is a question that was posed from Rav Kahana to Rav. Okay. What would be the halacha? Inche Rav Legamare. Rav forgot. Rav did not remember what the answer to that question was. Akrula Rav Kahana b'chamei. So that night Rav Kahana goes to bed, and in his sleep he was read the following pasuk in his dreams. Pasuk in Malachi, Bagda Yehuda v'toivan asab Yisrael v'shlan ki chilal Yehuda kodesh Hashem asher ahav uva abas el nechar. Okay. Pasuk in Malachi read to Rav Kahana in his dreams. Next morning Rav Kahana wakes up, Rav Kahana goes to Rav, and he says to Rav, would you believe it? Here's what I dreamed about last night. This is the pasuk that was read to me in my dreams. And now, obviously, this pasuk that was read to Rav Kahana in his dream was there to help Rav remember what the halacha is going to be. What if you didn't have a kanai there at the time? And what if the kanai didn't kill the Baal Aramis? What then becomes of the Baal Aramis? So now, adkare Rav l'gamare. So Rav remembers. So now what we're going to do is we're going to go back over this pasuk in Malachi and understand how this pasuk in Malachi triggers off Rav's memory. Right? So the Bagda Yehuda is reference to Avodah Zarah. The Toeva is a reference to Mishkav Zachar. Toeva he. Okay. Ki chilal Yehuda kodesh Hashem. Right? There was a chil, there was some sort of profanity. What was that? The Zona. That's a reference to Zonos, to prostitutes. V'cheinu Amer. Lo. See, in the Gemara we have yeah Kadesh, but we're talking about the women, so we're going to modify it. It's done on the margin. Lo Sia Kadesha mi benos Yisrael. Back to the pasuk Uva Bas El Nechar, having relations with a daughter of a false god. Zehabalakus is having relations with a non-Jew. Uksiv basrei, and on all these actions, what does the pasuk say? Yachres Hashem leisha sheyasenu er v'ona me'ohale Yaakov umegish mincha laHashem tzvakos. Pasuk ends off by saying that such an individual who does any one of these activities, avodah zarah, homosexuality, having relations with a prostitute, Jewish prostitute, Baal Aramis, having relations with a non-Jew, any one of these activities warrants what kind of punishment? Kares. Yachres Hashem le'isha sher yasenu. And consequently, im tam chacham hu, lo yet lo er b'chachamim va'ona b'tamidim. If he's a Talmud Chacham, he will no longer have a child who will be with the Chachamim or an answer for the Talmidim. Im kohen hu lo yelo ben megish mincha l'Hashem tzvakos. He will not have a son. Meaning as kares, you're going to die prematurely, and you also, your children will die prematurely as well. Okay, that's the prohibition of kares. So, and from here, now Rav remembers the answer. The answer to the question is that if the kanai did not kill, then that's it. We're done. Meaning that, what is this act punishable by? Punishable by kares. But that's it. So only during Shas Maaser, only then do you have the right to kill. After that point in time, it's viewed in retrospect only as an Isser kares, but not as Mises Beis Din. Beis Din does not have the right to take this up. Having relations with a non-Jew is like marriage to an avodah zarah. Dichsivu bal bas el nechar. Based on going back to this pasuk in Malachi, the pasuk in Malachi says you had relations with the daughter of an idol. Dichi bas yeshlo la el nechar. What does that mean? The idol didn't have the daughter. Ela zehaba al hakusis, having relations with a non-Jew. Now,
the non-Jew would not, in this case, Bnei Noach is included, or only the idol worshippers?
Seems to be any non-Jew. Seems to be.
Because it's all talking about idol worshiping and Bnei Noach are not.
Right. Okay. We're gonna interject for just a moment over here, a little agadata regarding Yehoyakim. Yehoyakim was Right, the last two kings of Yehuda, before the destruction of the first temple, last one was Sidkiyahu, second to last was Yechaniah, or also known as Yehoyachin, and before that you had Yehoyakim. And their names sound similar and it's a little bit confusing, but Yehoyakim was now third to last. Not a good guy. Yechaniah was a good king, Sidkiyahu was good, he was righteous as his name indicates, but Yehoyakim was not a good guy. Did not follow Torah. And Kasav of Amr Chia Baravu, Kasav of Gugalasu Shal Yakim. On the skull of Yehoyakim, you had the following message encrypted: Zos v'oda cheres. This and something else. Meaning that part of the curse that was given to Yehoyakim is that he would suffer a heinous death, and for reasons which the Gemara is not clear about, his body would be even further degraded in a future time. Zikeno de Rabbi Preda, the grandfather of Rabbi Preda, Ashkachau Gugalasa, he found a skull, the Havashaja Bishar Yushalayim, that was just, I don't know, found somewhere in Jerusalem. Vavakos of Ilave, Zos Vodacheris. And on the skull is Zos Vodacheris, Kavra. So, human remains, he figured it's only going to be proper and dignified to bury it. So he buried the skull. Even though encrypted on the skull, written on the skull, was Zos Vodacheris. Vahadar Navog. And then it started Navog. Rashi says it started bubbling back up. Would refuse to remain buried. Kavr Vahadar Navog. Tried it again and it didn't work. Amahai Gugalaso Shel Yehoyakim Dechsiv Bey. And then he understood this has got to be the skull of Yehoyakim. Yirmiyahu says the following about Yehoyakim and the death of Yehoyakim. Kvuras chamur yikaver schov hashlech mihala lishari Yerushalayim. It's going to be permanently littered in the gates of Yerushalayim. Okay, and obviously, what does that mean? Permanently littered. It means that you try to bury it and it won't be buried. It refused to be buried. So now he understood based on the pasuk in Yirmiyahu that this has got to be the skull of Yehoyakim. Amar Malkahu v'lav Arach Aru levezuye. So he says, look, he was a king. Right? Not a good king, but he was a king. And it's not Derech Eretz to just simply leave the skull around. So what did he do? Shakla Karcha b'shirai. So he wrapped up the skull in silk. The Osve b'sifta. And he put it in a chest and he kept the chest in his house. Okay. Story gets only stranger. Also, the Vasayu Chazise Nafkas Amra Lohu L'Shivavasei. So his wife finds it. Right? You try to hide anything in your house, forget it. Your wife's going to find it. She finds, especially a skull wrapped in silk, hidden in a chest. She finds it, and she turns to her neighbors and she says, "Any clue what this is all about? It's a little strange, right? Husband's hiding skulls in the house." So Amri La De'Isasa Kamaisihi. So they make up the greatest story. Like you could not think of a better story to make up over here. So they say to her, "Yeah, you know what that is? That's the skull of his previous wife." Right? Talk about how rumors circulate. That's great. It's great. It's perfect. This is the skull of his previous wife. Dolo Kamanshila. And he can't forget her. And he can't forget her. And he's always thinking about her. And in fact, he was so enamored by her that he decided, you know, I'm just going to keep her skull, wrap it in silk, and keep it in a chest. And, you know, that'll remind me of my first wife. That's what that skull is all about. That's what they tell the wife. Okay. Shagras la tanura vikalta. So now she's angry. She's good and angry, understandably. She takes it, she throws it into the oven, and she burns it. So kiyasa amar hainu dichsiv. And now when he comes back home, now he says, now I know pshat. I understand. Why is it written on the skull, Zos va'oda cheres? Right? Welcome to Oda cheres. Dichsiv alave Zos va'oda cheres. Okay. We come back. Come back to the Baal HaRambam. Why did that story come up over here? Rabbi Chiya Bar Avuya, I guess, is the thread that takes us from Baal HaRambam to that story of the skull of Yehoyakim. Back to Baal HaRambam. Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amar Beis Dina Shel Chashmonai Gazru Abal Akusis Chayev Alei Mishum Nashga. Beis Din of the Chashmonayim made a gzeira. No one is allowed to have relations with a kusis. And if you do, you will be chayev for four things. Nashga. Nashka is an acronym, obviously. Rashi goes through each one of the acronyms. Let's quickly run through this Rashi, these Rashis. Nun. Nun says Rashi is Nida. Now, remember, this is going to be important because these are gzeros, which mean that min ha-Torah, there, we are not talking about any Torah prohibitions. These are gzeros because the Rabbanan, because they could lead to these four different Isurei De'oraisa. Okay? So follow. Nida. Alpha pi, I'm reading Rashi's. Alpha pi shadam kusis kidam behema. So when they menstruate, so it's not dam nida. It's blood, obviously, but it's not dam nida. It doesn't carry with it tumas dam nida. Mikomakom nius vechilo lekdusha sashemo. But it's still disgusting, and so therefore they impose the gzera as if it's dam nida. Two. Shivcha. Shehi kishivcha etzlo. Shekinesis Yisrael Gevira Nikres. So, like a shivcha, there's an isser of a Jewish man not to have relations with a shivcha. When you're an Eved Ivri, you have a dispensation. The Torah gives a dispensation. But a full-fledged Jew is not allowed to have relations with a shivcha. This kusis, again, mina Torah, she's not a shivcha, but the Beis Din of Cheshmonaim felt that it's similar to a shivcha, so therefore the gzera was because of shivcha. Three. Now it's gimel, and it's avodah zara. That's because avodah is gilulim. Okay, so that's how you get to the gimel. Avodah kocham lo sischatim bam ki asir. It's an important Rashi. Kol amisir says alei b'mashma. You're not allowed to marry a non-Jew. Rashi says that's an isur de araisa of lo sischatim bam. Now, even though contextually speaking, that pasuk is referring to the seven nations, but Rashi says, "Kol ha-misiras asalei v'mashma." Anyone who is going to take you away from Hashem and Torah is included in the biblical prohibitions, and this is d'oraisa to marry a non-Jew. So, what's the gzeira of Chashmonayim miu lav de lo sischatim like a d'oraisa de derech chasnus mashma? That's only if you attempt to marry her. The Beis Din of Chashmonai, or Beis Din of Chashmonai, Gazol Delifrosh Minam Mishum Kolhani. And the Beis Din Chashmonaim said, even if you just want to have relations, no marriage, just relations, that will be Asr. And finally, Aleph, Ashes Ish, Valav Mamish, Dikedushin Leislahu, Umiul Ashes Ish, Damya Vachayv Lefrosh Minash Lei Ragal Be Ashes Ish. Look, it's another woman, it's not real Ashes Ish.
No marriage.
Right, they're not married, but it's similar enough where you are having relations with another woman, and so therefore they felt the gzer would be for Ashes Ish. So for these four Isur Daraisa, the Beis Din Chashmonaim imposed a blanket gzera that a man is not allowed to have relations, not marriage. Marriage is also in a Torah, not relations with a non-Jewish woman. Ki also Ravin Amar Mishum Nashgaz. Now Ravin over here says Nashgaz. Nashgaz takes out the Ashes Ish, right? Nida Shivcha Goya Zona, Ava Mishum Ishus Leif Lehu. Takes out the Ashes Ish. He feels that by them, there really is simply no marriage whatsoever. They're so mufker. She's so mufkeres that there's no marriage whatsoever. There's no institution of marriage whatsoever. So the Gzera was not for Ashes Ish. So he takes out Ashes Ish and he replaces it with Zona. Okay? Now, interesting, Rashi and Tosos both say Zona imhu Kohen. Right? Who's prohibited to marry a Zona? A Kohen's prohibited to marry a Zona. A Yisrael is allowed to marry a Zona. So this Gzera, this Zion, Rashi and Tosos both say, is only talking on the Kohen. For the Kohen, it would be rabbinically prohibited. V'idach nishayu v'adela mafkaru. And the first opinion says, no, there is an institution of marriage by them. Leave an Ashes Ish. Okay. Amar Rav Chisda, Abalim Lachin, Morin Lo. Okay. More about Kanayim Pogim Bo. Right? So you see a man who's Bo Aramis. The halach is Kanayim Pogim Bo. And then you go to your Rebbe and you say, well, can I kill him? So done. Meaning, you can't. Once you consult, you no longer have the right to take up this action of Kanayim Pogim Bo. Ein manami amar Rav Barchan amar Rav Yochanan abalim lach ein orin lo. So no, the halacha cannot be told to him. It has to be a sincere, passionate act of kana'os. Right? If you're asking the question, you're not a kana'i. Right? You're a litvish. You're cold, you're calculated. Right? This is not the time for that. This is the time to be emotional and really passionate. Okay? And if you're not, you're not a kana'i. And you don't have the right. Below Od Elashim Pirish Jimre, Vahargo Pinchas. So I'm sorry. Let me do that again. So another halacha, which is going to be just, it's unbelievable how specific this halacha is of Kanayim Pogim Bo. It has to be a passionate act. You can't ask. On top of that, once the act is over, which the Gemara qualifies as once he stops being intimate with her, then it's too late. Then your window of opportunity has closed. And if Pinchas would have killed Zimri at that point in time, Pinchas is a murderer.
Right.
Nepach Zimri v'hargol Pinchas, and here we go. And this halacha is really going to throw us all for a loop. What if Zimri turns around, even when he's even during the act of intimacy, what if he turns around and defends himself? He has the right, Zimri has the right to defend himself. Ein nehrag alav shahare rodefu. Because Pinchas is a rodef. Before we go any further. Right, so try to process this, because it's difficult. It's very difficult to process. Right? A kanai has a right to kill when he sees this type of violation, and presumably applies to all three violations. But right now, let's just focus on kanai and pogimbo. I'm sorry, I'm bola ramis. So you have the right to kill, but at the same time, however, this is not a legislative execution. You're not acting as a basin, as a body of basin. You're acting as an individual, as a vigilante. And as such, the one who's committing the crime has every right to defend himself. And if Zimri would have turned around and killed Pinchas, Zimri would have been vindicated. Yeah. Would have been fine.
So Goel Adam can also turn around and kill.
Yeah, so I saw in all my little notes,
right.
I saw that was a big discussion.
Oh.
Right? Whether you have a Goel Adam who can also defend. Right, the consensus is, I don't know who to quote over here.
That's not similar.
Right, the consensus is no.
That's not similar. Because with this guy, you have a very limited window while he's in the act. Goel Adam already did his act, he's running away. You're chasing after him. There's no
difference. Now, in other words, even though the basic point is that even though we're calling Pinchas a rodef, that's what we're doing right now.
Right.
Even though Pinchas is a rodef, not rodef in the classic sense, not in the classic sense of, well, now he's a rodef. We know by halacha, by rodef, anyone can go ahead and kill him, right? Not just the victim, but here it's really limited rodef. It's only Zimri, and Zimri by himself only has the right to defend.
And it has to be before
Nesu. And
the act of Pinchas was.
Yes and no. I don't know. It's right. Right. Good question, Alan. I don't know. I don't know the answer. Okay. Let's quickly run through a little bit, because now we're going to hit the psukim, the agadata, the midrashim regarding the story of Pinchas and Zimri. Vayomer Moshe al Shofte Yisrael halach shifto shel Shimon etzel Zimri ben Salu. So the shevet of Shimon goes to Zimri. And Amr lo hainin dan din fashos. Look at this, crazy what's going on over here. They're judging capital crimes. The ata yoshev shosek, and you're just sitting there and you're quiet, and what's going on? Ma'asa ama the kibetz chavdal elf mi'israel. So the first thing that Zimri does is he gets a group, 24,000 people. It's a pretty significant group. V'halachetz al Kazbi, amala ishmeili. So he goes to Kazbi. She's a princess of Midian. And he says, Hashmili. And he says to her, I'd like to have relations with you. And he tries to seduce her. Amr lo bas melech ani v'chein tzivi li avi lo tishmi ala legadol shebehem. And look, she says, look, I'm interested, but not with you. I need a leader. And who are you? So Amr lo afu nasi shevet. I'm sorry, nasi shevetu. So he says, that guy, referring to himself, right, people like Zimri talk about themselves in third person, right? So that guy, what do you mean? I'm Nasi Shevet. I'm the head of my Shevet. I am a leader. And not only that, but again, speaking about himself in third person, I'm greater than him. I'm greater than Moshe. I'm second, and he's third. He's the third son. I'm the second son. Tafsa bibul yurasa v'yivyeitza Moshe. He grabs her by the hair. Zimri grabs Cosby by her hair, takes her, drags her in front of Moshe. Amarlo ben Amram zuasura umuteris. And with amazing chutzpah, he says to Moshe, this one over here, what is she? Is she forbidden to me or is she permitted to me? And wait before you answer me. The im tomar asura. And if you want to tell me that she's forbidden to me, bas yisro mihi tiralach. Well, who did you marry? Wow. Tremendous chutzpah. Nisama mimenu halacha. And at that point in time, Moshe, the halacha was forgotten. The halacha la Moshe misinai. Go kulam bebechia. And everyone started crying behind the dichtiv, v'hema bochim pesach ol moed. And now we have a better understanding behind the pasuk of why everybody was crying. Uksiv v'yar Pinchas ben Elazar ma ra'ah. Pinchas saw, what did he see? Amarav ra'ah ma'isev v'nizkar halacha. Saw and remembers the halacha. Amalo achi aba ava. Lo kach li maritani. Beriditcha mehar Sinai. Now he says to his great uncle Moshe, remember, you came down from Har Sinai, you were teaching us Torah, and you taught us halacha l'moshe misinai, really, for him, real halacha l'moshe misinai, like literally. And he says, you remember what you taught me? Abolos esakusis kanayim pogimbo? Now remember, we learned a couple of lines ago that if you ask the question, if you need to ask the question, you're no longer a kanai. So Moshe at this juncture cannot give a straight answer, because then Pinchas will lose that ability of being a kanai. So what does Moshe say to him? Amarlo, karaina de igrasa iulehave parvanka. You're the reader of the letter, therefore you should be the messenger. Not saying yes, not saying no. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Ushmul amarash in chachman in tuna in eitza neged Hashem. There was another concern that Pinchas had, and that was, wait a second, I can't, Moshe's right here, what am I going to do? I'm going to paskin halacha in front of Moshe? That's what he was ra'ah, that's what he saw. That when it comes to chil Hashem, you don't have to worry about being chole kavod l'rav. He saw that the malach was coming and was destroying, and that this was a time for action. He takes a spear in his hand. So first of all, a halacha, which for some reason did not make its way into Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to bring weapons into the Beis HaMedrash. Okay? Shalaf. So what he did is he took a spear, but he took the metal tip off the spear because he wanted to go into the house to kill Zimri, but he wanted first to get into the house. So he took the metal off the spear and he used the spear, the wooden part of the spear, as a cane. V'haya nishan v'holech amaklo. The came as yigiel to shifto shoshemon amar heicha matzina shifto sholevi gadol mishel shemon. What's going on over here? They said. You think he can come in? Amru, they said, hinichu lo afhu la'asot tzrachav. They think Pinchas wants to go in to enjoy the party. Amru, hinichu lo afhu la'asot, I'm sorry, nichnas hitir prushim es adavar. He goes in and he takes matters into his own hands. Fine. What do I do now? I stop. I guess the proper thing to do is stop. Okay. Okay, we'll pause over here.